Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, 2022 has arrived, and we're kicking off the year with 2 weeks of great PGA Tour action on Hawaii, Nothing Like Golf in Paradise. Plus, I'm tuned into a new reality show based here in Austin, and a whole lot more going on in our lives. And this week's guest is Steph Higgins, an interesting little connection made here between us, the Course of Life, and our friends at the DP World Tour as well, too. Plus, our college football championship matchup is set, and we also always end with food, all of it brought to you by our friends at Club Doctor Golf. Mike, new year, resolutions on and off the course. The real simple one is just keep cleaner clubs this year in 2022. So what better way to do it than with Club Doctor Golf? It's the number one golf club care solution that you need in your life. Two great products to keep your clubs squeaky clean. They've got the spray and they've got the cleaning solution. It clips right onto your bag. It's portable, it's convenient. Clean clubs, help improve performance, ball spin, speed control, all that good stuff, and just give you a little bit of a better attitude towards each swing and shot you make on the course. So be sure to bring your clubs back to life. Restore their original shine with Club Doctor Golf, available at clubdoctorgolf.com. They're also doing a giveaway on their Instagram right now as you hear this. So check out Club Doctor Golf on Instagram, tag them, tag us, follow the account to win your Club Doctor Golf. Or just check out the website and use promo code COL for 15% off any purchase. That's promo code COL for 15% off your Club Doctor today.
And welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf, Tosi Snacks, Club Doctor Golf, and Volvic. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, we're back in the chairs talking to each other through the magic of the internets. It's been about 2 weeks since we've actually sat down and talked. And really, two major things have happened. Let's talk about these two major things. And let's start with Tiger frickin' Woods showed that if he can drive a cart around a golf course and play on a flat course, he can play really well.
Yeah, so remember, guests out there, if you got a nice little 36-hole event on a weekend where it's, you know, carts all day, then Tiger could be your partner. It was cool to see, nonetheless. Obviously, he was very limited in the amount of actual golf he played that weekend with Charlie. But that was a neat capper to 2021 after all the hardship he'd been through in his recovery. Just to see him back out there smiling and swinging, you could tell Charlie was loving it the entire time. But let's not forget that the real headline from that weekend was JD and JD2 getting it done. I love that father-son combo, and I'm almost wondering if I love that father-son combo as much as I do the Woods. The love affair is pretty strong right now.
I mean, would you rather root for Santa Claus, who also wears pants with skulls on them?
Really plays into Santa Claus.
Yeah. Or do you want to root for Tiger Woods? So,
I mean, it works so well being at Christmas time. It makes sense that Santa got the W. So shout out to JD and JD2. Mm-hmm. It was neat to see that whole father-son really spectacle get a little extra play right into the holidays. And it was a neat way to wrap things as we kind of turn the page to a new season as well.
It really was. It was good to see Tiger Woods back out there on the course playing surprisingly well. I still don't think we're going to see him on a PGA Tour event at all this year. I said it on last week's. However, I just had a brilliant idea. Brilliant idea. You know, I was thinking about this. I was thinking back to the father son, which really wasn't the father son because we also had Nelly Korda there with her father. So it was the parent and child tournament.
Parent child.
Is that, you know, we need to get Tiger and Nelly Korda out there because that interaction was just really wholesome and really awesome to see. So we need to get the two of them on the course together. So we need another version of the match where we put Tiger Woods and, I don't know, another really experienced woman golfer with him. So like Annika.
Okay.
And then we have Nelly Korda playing with a young, really good male golfer like Colin Morikawa.
Yeah, or JT. Let's do it. I love that. That's a great little two on two. I mean, we're endlessly trying to pair these matches together.
Yes.
We're doing
I'm just trying to do whatever I need to do to get more women golfers playing in these bigger events so that more people can see them and see how good they are and they can watch them. So
how strange is that Tiger just met Nelly Korda for the first time?
I know.
That father son.
Well, you know, he's kind of been laying with his leg up for the last year. Yes.
There was a little bit of a pandemic and things got in the way the last couple of years, but it was cool to see them finally unite. That was a neat headline. The other headline we got to touch on real quick as we head into 2022. You know, we talked a lot in 2021 about how the PGA Tour is giving away money for social media prowess, basically.
Literally giving away money.
In the form of their player incentive program. And drum roll, please, the winner of the first annual PIP for social media influence on the PGA Tour, not Tiger Woods.
Nope.
Yes, I know Tiger is the needle in golf, but Tiger Woods did not win the PIP for 2021. That grand prize goes to our friend and PGA champion, Phil Mickelson, with the grand prize for his social media prowess and influence in the past year. What were your thoughts on that announcement? Phil finally getting the nod over Tiger in something.
Yeah. You know, Tiger doesn't have these fireside chats that Phil does. So, you know, Phil really embraced social media over the last year or so. And just his self-marketing personality just came out in droves and was kind of sickening at times. But there's no doubt that Phil is just an awfully influential force on social media. Now, does Phil need $8 million more dollars? No, none of these guys do.
I don't think he does. Well, I don't know. You know, he gets into a lot of weird, jaded trouble with the law. You never know that much, just in case. But yeah, it was funny to see that he actually got right out ahead and bragged about how he won the PIP immediately. And then reports came out that the actual final numbers weren't tallied for a couple of days. So I love this. He completely finessed the system by just getting right out in front of the vote and saying, I'd already won. I wonder where we've heard that before. That's more before. I can't remember. Regardless, congratulations to Phil for winning the PIP. And we look forward to more entertaining Twitter content from him in the new year.
Oh, for sure. I'm sure it won't be stopping anytime soon. The other thing that is coming back from a hiatus is the actual PGA Tour. We get the Century Tournament of Champions this weekend in Hawaii, as always. A bunch of guys who have won on tour get to play again. And, of course, you get a good field. Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, Xander Schauffele, Jon Rahm, Jordan Spieth, Patrick Cantlay, Bryson. Anyone who's won on tour in the last year is going to be here. So,
it's funny. The last few years, this tournament, it's always been the tour winners, and that format's never changed. I feel like this field's been lacking a little bit in recent years. You've seen a lot of the top players take the break and not do either one of the Hawaii events. So it's good to see these names are showing up right off the bat to start the calendar year. That's always very comforting. And speaking of that PIP money too, one of the agreements, I know you'll appreciate this, for the players that do win the PIP money is they have to pick one new tournament that they haven't been to in several years to play. So classic Phil just says, oh, okay, I'm gonna do this right now and go play Kapalua. So
why not?
Good stuff. Anyways, that's a really cool course. Looking forward to million mile drives at the 18th downhill. Guys are busting it over 400 yards. You get some insane winds. You may remember this is where Dustin Johnson had the 432 yard drive that was 8 inches away from being the greatest golf shot in the history of the planet, a one on a par four. So there's some crazy things that can happen at Kapalua, but nonetheless, it's just good to have it back on our screen. And why not start in paradise, right?
It's true. It's true. And I'm going to go ahead and say who I think is going to win right now.
Oh, okay.
It's a fun resort style course, right? Out there. So.
Oh, boy.
Victor Hovland.
You're going Mr. Resort, aren't you?
Victor Hovland.
I only win in paradise. That's Victor Hovland's slogan. We're going to start tweeting that out, actually. I like that. I only win in paradise. Okay. We'll see if he makes it 3 for 3. He's got what? Puerto Rico. He's got Mayakoba. Yeah, this would make sense. He's basically building like the Sandals Resorts portfolio of resort properties. He's building that in the form of PGA Tour wins. It's a nice way to do it.
Yeah, and we'll have our full picks, our first picks of the new 2022 golf calendar season, because, of course, the 2021-2022 season has already started a couple months ago. But we'll have our picks out on Wednesday on Twitter.
Yeah, we're back to winners, hopefully. I'm at Course of Life 1 on Twitter. You're at MWRINC. We each had about a handful of wins in 2021. So looking to replicate or duplicate that process and add a couple more on top. So yeah, follow on Twitter for picks. They'll be out Wednesday evening as we get the action going from the Paradise Island of Hawaii. It'll be good to see the palm trees in action.
And since it is January, Alex, we should, I guess, talk about some resolutions that we're going to have for the 2022 golf year for ourselves, our personal play.
Yeah, and I know yours is pretty simple because I feel like you just need to get back out on the course more, just period.
Yeah, I just need to play. I played on New Year's Eve, 80 degree weather in the Savannah area here on New Year's Eve. It's crazy. And played pretty not great.
Pretty not great.
Pretty not great.
Well, what's the issue when you're rust and you come off a practice sabbatical? Was it more so around the greens or just getting the ball off the tee?
It's going to be more getting the ball off the tee. You know, around the greens, I'm okay. I actually think I'm pretty good around the greens. I think I have a good short game. It's more getting it on the fairway off the tee.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, you got a little bit of an adjusted life schedule, I think, is going to allow for a couple more driving range trips, which you maybe didn't have the luxury of doing. You might actually be able to work on your game a little bit more. So cheers to that hat, maybe.
You know? I'm looking forward to it.
I'm
going to try to play at least once a month, So,
yeah, nice. That's my quota typically as well, too. Mine is, I talked about teeing it forward in our last couple episodes. I talked about it as an airing of grievance. So I'm definitely doing that in 22. But I'm finding myself wanting to walk more. I can't believe I'm saying this at 34 years old. I used to make fun of these people at 14, 19, and 24. But it's official, Mike. As of the Christmas holiday, I am now a push cart guy. Not at every course, but where it applies, if it's relatively flat, I've purchased a new fancy push cart. I'm that guy. I'm living the walking golf course life. Gotta say, it really alleviates a lot of pressure off your back and shoulders. And I never really realized what a number those golf bags did to you until I entered the push cart.
I was thinking about this when I was walking 18 on Friday, which was pretty brutal after not playing for 6 months, that I was reminiscing to our days in college, Alex, where we would walk 18 holes uphill the last three holes on a Friday evening in the dark, like straight uphill with the bags on our back. That was brutal back then. I don't know how we did it then.
Yeah, and then we also functioned after that in the evening.
Yeah.
Like if you and I were to do that right now, we'd be in bed by 7:30.
I mean, I don't even think I'd reach the – if we walked that course on a Friday evening, I don't think I'd be able to get to the 18th green. So –
love that. Okay. There's some resolutions for the new year. The one other I wanted to shout out is our friends at The First Tee. We love them. They're the official charity of our podcast. And I hit up our friends there, Jennifer and the team. I'm going to check out their event calendar. I'll be posting a lot more about them and what they have going on in the greater Austin community. But be sure to just check out your First Tee local chapter in general and support them. We love talking about the 9 core values on here. We're glad to be with them into the new year. So those are our resolutions, and hopefully we can make good on some improvement to our golf games this year, however it may be.
I'm sure we will. All right, let's switch over to Tuned In, where we share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. I, over this last week, actually started watching a show that season 2 just came out, so I am well behind the 8 ball here, but I started watching The Witcher on Netflix.
Interesting. What's going on in The Witcher, and is there anyone notable in there that we'd recognize?
Henry Cavill, Superman,
is in
there.
Oh, yeah, okay. Hello, Superman. Yeah.
Sure. He doesn't wear his shirt many times, so if you're a fan of Henry Cavill, you can look at him without a shirt on.
There you go.
And as a very comfortable heterosexual man in a very committed relationship, I can say that Henry Cavill is hot AF.
Oh, man. Gosh, those celebrities, they just have it all, don't they?
I mean,
not only can the guy act, he's got abs of steel, I'm sure. You know, was there a shower scene or something, Mike?
He's in a tub.
Yeah.
He's in a tub.
Predictable, of course. Love that. Okay. So if you're looking for a little skin in a superhero, with little clothing on, check out The Witcher. My reality show that I binged over the Christmas holiday, a little near and dear to my heart because it took place here in Austin, Texas. Basically, just your classic real world. Let's just throw a bunch of young people in a house and see what happens. That's what 20-somethings is on Netflix. It's been all the rage this past month. But Mike, obviously, I have a little connection because every time I see a scene on the show, I'm like, oh, I've been there. I know that bar. I know that place. So nonetheless, really fun, entertaining, turn your brain off television. And If you enjoyed the show or you like any specific members of the 20-somethings cast, get excited and subscribe right now, because I think we're going to have a member of the show joining us pretty soon as well, too. So that's my binge suggestion for anyone who just wants to sit back and laugh. 20-somethings on Netflix.
And I know we're going to hear more about that soon now, so we'll get ready for that. All right, let's get into this week's guest. Alex, I know you have lots of creative ways to find our very eclectic variety of guests on this podcast. I feel like that's an understatement.
Yes.
This week has got to be a new one.
Yes, this was via me watching TV on a Sunday morning and then via comments on an Instagram post. That was the chain of connection to get me to this week's guest, Steph Higgins. But she's a woman who has an impeccably cool background in sports media production, both inside and outside of golf, and a really neat connection to make here on the podcast.
Can't wait to hear it. But first, it's time for a word from one of our newest friends and partners of the Course of Life, Volvic.
Oh, yes. The yellow ball company, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I love this because I play with yellow golf balls now all the time. So Volvic makes really great high color golf balls like the XT Soft that we have both played. And they have so many more different kind of balls out there as well. But the XT Soft is really kind of great.
Yeah, it's nice. It's interesting because I've played a variety of golf balls my entire life. And there's a little bit of a stigma, especially when you're someone who's experienced in the game, saying, am I really playing a yellow golf ball? Like, you know, as if it's not built with the technology of every other modern brand's golf balls. And that's exactly what Volvic is. It's a revolutionary golf ball and easy to find on the course as well, too. It's got a really nice, soft, consistent flight, which I appreciate. So no joking. I'm enjoying the XT Softs and you can too. Check out Volvic.com and Volvic Golf. But they are a lot more than just the yellow golf balls. They make a variety of products as well and merchandise that we're going to show off to you in the coming months of this partnership. We're excited to have them be a friend of the show. Volvic, they're a great company that doesn't necessarily spend all their marketing just trying to get the tour player panache. They spend their money on making the best high-performance golf balls for you, the average golfer that's listening at home. Not the pro that needs to play Pro V1Xs all the time. For you, the one who's listening at home, check out Volvic and Volvic.com. And we'll be having a promo code coming your way very soon. So stay tuned for more from our friends at Volvic. Next up on the tee, we have a member of the production team for the DP World Tour, formerly known as the European Tour. Thanks to the force of New England Patriots Nation and also the power of social media, we're connecting today. It's Steph Higgins joining us on the Course of Life from London. Steph, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. I'm glad we could connect. It's a very funny story about how we connected, and we'll get to that in a moment. But I want everyone to hear about your background and your career as well. I can tell from your Instagram, you have lots of experience in sports production settings. I've seen you do NFL London games to everything in the golf world recently. I'm curious how long you've been in sports production and then specifically when you found golf from a production standpoint.
Well, I've kind of been on the production side of it for about 8 years. Kind of fell into it, really. It was kind of more good fortune, because I actually used to train racehorses. And when I handed my license in after a bit of a debacle, which I won't bore you with, I was actually trying to just escape the UK and travel a bit, and effectively just picked up a few volunteer events in Dubai, and it went from there. And they kind of said, listen, you know, we like your style. We like the fact that you're, you know, running around and getting us great sound. Can you do some more? So over the years, I've done more and more. And yeah, the NFL games are mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. There's so many voices going on in your head, but it's all good.
Definitely, yeah. What can get louder to you? Peak volume at a golf tournament for like a winning putt or an NFL game? What do you think?
I would say NFL when it's like, because obviously the London games are packed. They are rammed, you can imagine, because we don't get many.
Right, yeah.
I was so lucky, but we'll come to that later. But yeah, when it's seriously packed at Wembley and Twickenham, I mean, you do struggle to hear the director, and you just have to kind of go on almost experience and kind of hope you're pointing in the right direction. But But saying that, yeah, I mean, as we were just saying, the Ryder Cup, when it's in America, God, it's so loud. And it's good. It actually gives you goosebumps. You know, at the sort of when you're sort of approaching the 18th with some of the big time golfers, you do just get goosebumps walking up thinking, my God, you know, how lucky am I?
So cool. And I'm curious, as to your background specifically with golf, have you played the game a lot growing up? Tell me about your experience with golf before you got with the DP World Tour.
No, I mean, I was a jockey and then trainer for a long time. So I only started golf. I kind of loosely started about same time as I got on the volunteering to try and pick up a bit more experience. Realized how hard it was. And kind of, because you come into it thinking you're going to be great, don't you? Because you look at it and they make it look so easy.
Yep.
And it just isn't. I do like bomb and driver. That's where I'm good. I can bomb driver. The rest of it, I'm just like, you know, that'll do.
Yeah, the rest of it, that's the part that takes the extra yeah, practice. Exactly. Indeed. Yeah, you need a lot of time fine. For that stuff to be great. So for everyone at home, let's kind of explain in the most simplistic way your really cool Mike Girl job, because it confuses some people that watch golf for the first time. They'll see you often on camera and you're very close to the action. But explain kind of exactly what you're doing to our listeners and how your job works on a day-to-day basis in golf terms.
My job is to, for all those people sat at home on their sofa watching the TV and watching the golf, my job is to try and bring the audio of anything that you're hearing live on course. So I have a big boom mic and a big battery pack and obviously an antenna with headphones, and you've got the director or sometimes a couple of directors and submix and about four different voices in your head telling you effectively what camera's on or what camera they're going to go to. And you kind of, most of it's sort of pretty logical. So obviously see the ball, you want to hear the ball being hit. You want to hear the golfers having a chat where you can. You want to hear the caddies chatting. You want to hear, you know, the applause if it's a good putt or, you know, a good strike. And just generally anything you want to hear sat on the sofa. So it can be quite intense. I mean, in general, Thursday, Friday, it's generally a sort of bit of a walk and sprint round a course.
Right.
Saturday, Sunday can get a bit tense. Obviously, the likes of, the big guns when there's probably, 8-9 different camera angles on any given time. And so you have to try and your best to stay out of shot. At the same time, you've got to be on the next shot without being seen. Yep. So it can get quite tricky, but I kind of like it,
And this is them in their biggest moment, trying to win a lot of money in these tournaments too. So there's a lot going through their mind as well too when they're playing. So I'm curious, are you often assigned to maybe one group for the day, or are you moving around group to group on the course throughout the day?
This last year or two, obviously with COVID, we try and cut down on the amount of movement, the amount of equipment sharing, and just for obvious reasons, you don't want to be around sort of too many people. So the last sort of year and a half, we've just done one group in the afternoon. So effectively both sides of the draw, then we'll get the trophy group in the afternoon and you'll go out with, the better player. And then obviously at the weekend, we do the last group. Well, I do the last group. So it's obviously whoever's leading, whether that's a two or three ball. It's been a three ball a lot this year. I run my socks off.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Okay, that makes a lot of difference if there's three golfers and two for your job. You're definitely getting in thousands and thousands of steps a day, right? I mean, what have you kept track of a record for how many steps you've knocked in a day?
Easy tracks about 20K a day on a sort of easy day, which, because the thing is kind of, because you've got to go from, say three shots on the fairway and a par five. And even if they're in a line, you've still got to walk to one, sort of two, three. But you've also got to, if one's in a bunker, you've got to run around the back. You can't just go and stand in the obvious position, which is kind of on the side of the course, because obviously you're on someone's shot. So it's, it's a lot of running that hopefully you don't see on camera.
A lot of quick decisions too, I can see.
Yeah, massively. But you kind of get into a nice sort of, a bit of a rhythm, especially with the good players that you see over and over again. Because they've all got their little things they do and don't like. And, there's some you can't stand behind, and there's some that don't like you on an angle, and there's some that don't like you moving on them late, so you just have to sort of point from where you are. But generally, they're a good bunch. They really are.
So there's definitely a science to that audio that you're hearing at home when you watch on TV and you're the one that helps create it, which is very neat. So let's get to where I originally found you and we came in contact. So basically I'm having my Sunday morning coffee here in America with the European tour. I believe it was an event in Dubai or Abu Dhabi. And I see you patrolling the fairways. I had no idea who you were at all. We've never come in contact before, but I could not help but notice the New England Patriots hat that you were wearing. And this particularly struck me because I'm here I am a world away and so are you. And on a Sunday in Dubai, you're supporting the team that I love most. I grew up in Boston. I'm a lifelong Boston sports fan. So the question for you is how the Patriots hat and what's the connection to the New England Patriots?
So it's kind of quite funny because obviously having come across the sort of NFL and golf quite late, as we've already mentioned, I was thrown in a game, the NFL in London at Wembley, and I'd watched the Super Bowl occasionally, but I'd never actually sat down and watched a game.
Right.
And the crew warned me that there's quite a lot of direction, as in, you know, you get sort of three or four voices telling you who and what to point at. So they said, oh, I hope you're up on the names. I'm like, excuse me, what? So I literally had to go home. They said, right, pick a team, study the team, you know, watch a load of games, watch the videos, and you'll pick the rules up better, you know, if you've got a team to support. Well, I mean, who hasn't heard of Tom Brady? So the easiest and most natural thing to do was to pick the Pats, watch a hell of a load of Pats games. And I just fell in love with the whole thing. And I was really annoyed that I hadn't sort of come across it sooner. So from there on in, it's been full Pats, yeah.
Very interesting. That's cool background. So a random assignment got you to the New England Patriots. That is very neat. So essentially from there, I commented on a post where your hat was featured that the DP World Tour threw up on their Instagram. You said hi and we're here now. I'm curious, when you're out walking, I've seen you wear the Patriots hat on more than one occasion out there. Do you get a lot of comments walking the fairways in these exotic destinations around the world? I'm curious how much reception it gets.
You'd be amazed. I don't think I've done a week where I haven't got like a comment. I mean, usually I would say half a dozen a day, five or six a day. Well, obviously now we've got crowds back because obviously it was pretty quiet for last season. But now the crowds are back, I mean, there's so many. And like everyone wants a fist bump. And I don't get many. I mean, if there's sort of anti-Pats, they'll just go, oh, you know, go Bills, or and you know you just have a little giggle and carry on walking. But no, there's a lot of Pat support out there. You'd be amazed.
Yeah, I get the mixed bucket as well too. I grew up in New England. There are Patriots fans in Texas, but I get a lot of go the other team directed my way. So you know what that's like. I'm curious, what's the most random connection Patriots based that you've made? I'm sure you said you get several a day, but is there a particular one that stands out to you?
Well, I mean, every country we go in, I mean, but you can imagine Switzerland, you wouldn't think there was many kind of NFL bods up there. You know, I mean, it's sort of cold, it's full of bankers, that's bankers, and sort of skiers and sort of not many sports enthusiasts. They're all kind of, you know, they're sort of businessmen. I was walking, running down the hill. There was a par three there, which is quite awkward to get to the green. You kind of have to run all the way around the back. And I was running and came, and the guy lifted the rope up for me to come in, and he went, "Go, Pats." I'm like, wowza. He's just like, Switzerland, really? And we both did a bit of fist bump and I walked off around the green. And I just get that everywhere. It's, you know, and it's lovely. I like it.
That's amazing. Just in the most random corners. Okay. The Patriots nation is really the Patriots. It's Patriots worldwide. I have to adjust that now. Okay. So was that Crán, Montana and Crán sur Cère you're referring to? That's an absolutely beautiful setting. I wanted to ask you about that quickly. So I'm curious because that's like a movie setting, spot in the Switzerland mountains there, but that's also got to be an interesting gig for you, patrolling the course. It looks like that course is on the side of a mountain. Is it not?
It is gorgeous. I mean, you do actually have to keep sort of telling yourself you're at work. Some of those tea boxes, you do get distracted just looking at the view, because obviously you'd be looking at the mountains, and obviously sometimes I'll get to the tea box before the golfers and you'll be staring into the distance. And it's like, oh God, yeah, hang on, turn around, try and do your job. And it is stunning, absolutely stunning. It's very hilly, mind. You have to be super fit going into there because it's not an easy day, but you don't mind with the setting like that.
Yeah, there's some beautiful destinations on the DP World Tour. Indeed, that's one of the best ones. So we talked about your Patriots fandom. I'm curious, as we sit now, this is going to air in the new year, but just in general, this team has been very interesting because there was a big time down year last season, but now all of a sudden we have seemed to have found presumably the next quarterback in Mac Jones. And you and I discussed it. Feels like things are a little bit ahead of schedule. What are your thoughts on how everything's played out this season with the rookie quarterback?
I don't want to jinx it, but I mean, God, we look so good, don't we? I mean,
it's amazing. I did not picture it happening this fast. Let's put it that way.
And I just think this last 3-4 games, we've just gone from strength to strength. And I mean, the Buffaloes, 4 or 5 days ago, Jesus. Because we usually, you know, you always enter that with a bit of trepidation because obviously they hate each other, don't they? And it's like, oh, God, I just thought we were amazing. I never felt once like we were going to go down to them last week, you know, and it kind of, obviously, for a year, we haven't had that feeling at all. But they just feel so strong now. And I mean, Jones is obviously fantastic. He's, you know, Bill's done it again, hasn't he? So I just don't dream, but I'd love to think we can. Yeah, I mean, let's just at least go playoffs and then we'll try and get a bit.
Yeah, but it's safe to say it feels like the postseason's in the forecast. Yeah. So hopefully there's good things to come in January. I'm curious, you know, I'll get you back in touch with the home base. You know, I listen to a lot of the Boston Sports Talk Radio, which I know a city you visited and loved before. And the big question they love to throw out here is, you know, was it Bill or was it Tom Brady this whole time that made the dynasty go for the last 20 years? You know, at first this past season, Tom Brady proved that he could do it on his own. Yeah. But now Bill's making a comeback. Where do you kind of stand on that whole debate right now?
I stand on the fact that they're obviously, listen, they're both obviously fantastic in their own guise. But Tom Brady came to the Bills under Bill's sort of coaching. He's learned Bill's style. He's done his own thing and he's a superior athlete. I mean, what is he, 44? And still chucking it around like he's a 20-year-old. So he is no doubt just one on his own. He's elite. But the fact that Bill can have a year off of, you know, lose his quarterback, which is everything, and bring a team together like he has done this year, then you've got to go, well, look, hey, he's doing something right. So, yeah. I mean, hats off to both of them. We're a very, very lucky people.
I know. A lot of the outside fans just can't believe that we're already back consuming the top of the standings again. They thought the layoff would be a little bit longer, but alas, it's not.
Everyone was giving it, oh, you're sticking with them then? Because obviously my Pats hat stayed put last year.
To stick with them. I love it. It's Steph Higgins with the DP World Tour, Steph.Higgins on Instagram. Let's finish with a few quick shot questions. I have to ask about Dubai, just in general. It seems like an otherworldly place for lots of people in America that have never been. Just describe that city and visiting it. Is it as futuristic as it's depicted on television? Because it looks like quite a sight to see.
Does it? Yeah. I mean, yeah, for sure it needs seeing. I mean, obviously I'm probably a little bit spoiled because I've been going even with the racing, I've been going now 16 years.
I was going to ask, transformation from when you first saw it to now must be amazing too.
It's a completely different pace now to obviously even 5-6 years ago. It's come every time we go, there's more on the skyline, and you know, the Burj Al Arab, which sort of stands prominent, you can see from every course you play in Dubai. And it's very busy, very bustling place now, but it definitely needs seeing. I mean, some of the sites are ridiculous.
Love it. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit because we love to end our episodes with a little food conversation. So I want to talk about maybe food destinations. You've done a lot of traveling in your DP World Tour travels. I'm curious, what's maybe like your favorite destination or tour stop where you love to get out and dine and experience the local food culture?
Italy. Their food is on another planet. They do something to it. I don't even know what, but everything you have there is just, you can't describe it. I mean, even just a pizza, obviously I know they invented the pizza, but even just a common pizza, you go there, you will never look at a pizza the same again. Everywhere, like you come home and it's like, well, that's not pizza. That's rubbish. their cuisine is just nuts. Everything's got taste. Everything's got texture. Everything is just, I can't, you can't describe it. You have to go there and find out.
Definitely. That's a decent segue to where I grew up. I'm actually going to spend some of the holiday in Boston. Now, it's not quite Italy, but the North End in Boston has some amazing Italian food. I'm curious, did you get out there or do you have any memories food-wise from your visit to Boston the last couple of years?
I did. Because obviously myself and my partner went to Boston, year before last, now pre-COVID. We actually only went over 2 weeks and ended up staying four because we love the place so much.
And nice.
We did say, I mean, I could quite happily move there because it's kind of got its English little sort of intrinsic sort of background. You know, there's a lot of sort of English things knocking around there, and the people are lovely, and it's quite arty and cultural. I loved it. But yeah, the food, I mean, it wouldn't be a patch on Italy, even if they called it Italian.
Yes.
But no, we had great coffees, great, and the bun things in the morning, oh my days, what were they called?
Oh, donuts, croissants, biscuits, things, scones, yeah. There's all the like.
Oh yeah, we did breakfast very well.
Nice, I love that. And then the final question we love to ask is our 19th hole question. So now this is focusing on the end of the day. Maybe you played a round of golf or if you just walked 18 at an event and you get into the clubhouse, what is your go-to order at the 19th hole if we're talking about a meal and a drink of choice?
Meal and drink of choice would have to be pasta and vodka and tonic.
Nice. Straightforward answer like right there. I love it. Steph Higgins, thank you so much for joining the Course of Life. Looking forward to seeing you out on the DP World Tour, picking up some of that amazing audio that the tour loves to share. Thanks again for being on.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
That interview with Steph Higgins is brought to you by Desert Fox Golf, our good friends of the show and the makers of the Phone Caddy. The Phone Caddy lets you strap your phone right onto the side of your golf cart so it's easy to use and view all day long. You won't fumble around in the dark spaces of your cart, dropping it on the seat, or even worse, onto the grass as you drive away. Your phone will now sit comfortably in the Phone Caddy, locked safely onto that little piece right in front of you on the golf cart, that plastic piece that sticks up to the roof. It'll be the talk of your foursome, and it's a great gift for any golfer in your life. And for our listeners, you can save 10% off your purchase of a Phone Caddy with the promo code COURSEOFLIFE. It comes in a range of colors, and you can even show your support with their patriotic line. So head on over to desertfoxgolf.com to get your Phone Caddy, and don't forget to use the promo code COURSEOFLIFE to save 10%. Again, that's promo code COURSEOFLIFE at desertfoxgolf.com. And we're back. Great chat there with Steph Higgins. You know, it's no wonder that if you watch Patriots tape, you become a Patriots fan.
Yes.
It's been hard for me not to be a Patriots fan when I lived in New England because, you know, I'm a Giants fan.
But that was such an interesting turnabout way for her to stumble into that fandom. And that's how we communicate. And just like so funny, like I see this woman in a Patriots hat when I'm having my Sunday morning coffee watching the DP World Tour. And now all of a sudden she's a guest on our podcast. You know, the internet just has an unbelievable way of connecting people, but it was neat to talk with Steph there. And yeah, how about the nitty gritty of what she's doing as the mic girl, like running around shot to shot, 18 holes, following these golfers? Golf, you know, there's some fantastic audio in golf. It might be one of the toughest sports to maybe get audio for. You know, there's a lot of a standing, non-moving playing field in other sports. I know you're the production guy. You tell me, it's got to be one of the toughest sports to get audio for, though, right?
Considering I've never done anything in golf in terms of production, I'm going to go ahead and agree that it's very difficult.
You're just moving targets everywhere. So shout out to what Steph does. And yeah, like she said, you can certainly log some steps when you're running from shot to shot on a golf course.
And really, really in golf, what you need to remember is there's no other sport in which your the field is 7,000 yards.
And constantly moving at a moment's notice.
And constantly moving.
Love that. It was the perspective from Steph. Looking forward to featuring her and more of the team of the DP World Tour in episodes to come.
Let's talk about some college football, Alex, because, of course, we got some bowl games that happened, which meant we got the run up to the championship game that is coming next week. So let's talk about the two games. Cincinnati and Alabama played. My father-in-law's team, the Cincinnati Bearcats, showed why a team that's not one of the usual four doesn't belong there. And they got their butts handed to them by Alabama.
I know, it's sad. They lost by a few touchdowns. Sadly, I think they kind of held their own, but it was just not impressive. They could not move the ball at all. And these games just showed you over and over again, it's just like, crap, the SEC is just so much better than everybody else. It just nothing rang more true. And here we are again at the end of the road. Oh my, shocker. The familiar teams are right back in the championship game. It's like we've done all this amazingness to change the college football playoff and expand it, and still, like, we've learned nothing in the end. Look who's at the end.
It's unfortunate. Maybe we should expand it to 8 teams. Maybe then we'll have slightly more hope that someone other than Alabama and Georgia will play in the national championship game.
That's the idea. Is if you go to 8 or 12, it's not the idea that the upsets are going to happen often. It's just the idea that you're presenting the opportunity for them to happen if you allow more games in the playoff and more teams. But yeah, we're back with Bama, Georgia again. This was the Brooks Austin prediction from August. For anyone who really keeps track, he nailed that. He wasn't going too far out on the limb. But yeah, the Georgia Bulldogs trying to get their revenge. Mike, you know the same old story. I mean, you don't even have to watch any college football to know how this goes. It's here we go. Well, can Georgia get over the hump and beat Alabama? No, they're not going to. What makes you think they're going to do that when they never have? I love Bama. Again, I'm sorry.
And what's even more depressing about all of it is that it keeps happening in frickin' Atlanta, and Georgia still can't do it. So,
yeah, right in their backyard of all places. So, I mean, listen, I feel like I'm in this stance every year. I will be cautiously, optimistically rooting for Georgia to get it done, but I know where my money sits. It's with Alabama. Mm-hmm. So if you have any question what my pick is, there's none left. Overall, it's been an interesting season picking. I finished just above 52% overall with my picks against the spread. Didn't get to that 55% mark, but the money will be going on Alabama for the final game of the year.
We also had a cameo from a past guest during the bull fiasco. Yes,
that's right. We're seeing comedian Jade Catapretta everywhere if you're a college football fan right now. And you know who I'm talking about, but I'll walk you through it. It's the Flo Progressive commercial where they're all sitting at a table and they're awkwardly coming up with ideas for their next campaign. And there's Jade Catapretta. I sent her a message saying, just so you know, college football fans around the country are seeing you about every hour right now. Mm-hmm. She finally saw the commercial live for herself and posted the other day. If you want to check out a cool interview from our archives, check us out. Give us a subscription and check out our interview with Jade from earlier in 2021. A great guest, and it's cool to see her on the big spotlight there.
Before we end this week's episode, as we usually do, let's talk about Antonio Brown.
Oh, yes. Let's talk about the idiot moment of the weekend. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Antonio Brown decides to strip down and take everything off on the sideline except his pants, thank God, and exit the field. And then we hear later that he has been his time with the Tampa Bay Bucs is done, over, finin.
I hope so.
But it's Monday evening. Has he been cut from the team yet?
Yeah, and like I not only need the official announcement, like I also need to watch him like physically being like taken out of the facility. I don't know. The Tampa Bay Bucks have given this guy a million chances now, and he finds a way to F every single one of them up, whether it's him being in trouble with the law, teammates, ownership, management, coaches, fans. It's just like this guy, you know. I so desperately want to lean on the narrative that like he really needs some professional help, which he absolutely does. But he's also just done a million things around the idea of being a horrible human being that make me not want to give this guy any more chances. So I sincerely hope the Bucks don't either.
Yeah, he's, you know, he needs some professional help. That goes without saying. And hopefully he can get some soon because he's continuing to spiral down.
They're like, here, let me give you a couple 60-minute therapy sessions and then tell your coaches it's okay for you to play again. Like he actually needs like some real assistance to get himself through life. I don't know what that came from or what his background is, and none of us can guess on it, but just an all-time weird situation. Anytime you see a player Have we even seen a player leave the playing field in that condition in the middle of a game like that? Completely healthy? No. I can't say that I ever have. It's got to be first.
It's got to be.
All-time weird moment, nonetheless.
It really was. It really was. In the meantime, though, let's hashtag always end with food.
Yes, brought to you by our friends at Toasty Snacks, make sure the makers of the Toasty Bites. If you're looking to start a little January cleanse diet like I am, I highly suggest Toasty Snacks. These are healthy, gluten-free, sugar-free bars. They've got great flavor, good, quick, healthy snack to keep you going and keep you energized throughout the day. Toasty.com/COL, Toasty.com/COL. I mentioned it. The cleanse is here, Mike. We're in the midst of the January cleanse. It's a carb-free diet. There's not a piece of bread to be found anywhere. No candy in the house. The soda's cleared out. It's alcohol-free, and I'm diving into salads. That's all I can say right now.
I mean, they say it takes 60 days to develop healthy habits, so you really need to do this for 2 months.
Oh, so all right. So I'm going to develop about a 44% healthy habit. So that's good. I've got a base.
And then you'll throw it away.
And then throw it away. Yeah, as soon as the Super Bowl
will come, you'll be down in kegs of beer and shoving loaves of sourdough bread in your mouth. And
yeah, we say this every year. It's so funny how the Super Bowl comes right at the end of the January cleanse. It's very convenient, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Almost like it's been generated by big consumerism there.
by big tortilla chip.
Yeah, and, exactly. They're out to get us, aren't they? But I'm going to try and make it through the cleanse through the month of January. Follow along for food content from us at Always End with Food Pod as well, too. What are you taking away? We toyed around with what you're going to take away in January, but what are you looking at this month?
What's good? I'm taking away fast food. So no fast food, no McDonald's, no Zaxby's, no Starbucks pastries or sandwiches. I can still do Starbucks coffee. I'm still allowed to do that.
That's right.
And then the wife added another wrinkle to all this.
Oh boy, I can't wait to hear this.
Because we were saying no fast food and she went, so no Chipotle? I was like, yeah, it is fast food, isn't it? So no Chipotle.
Oh, man, too. Because that's a decently healthy alternative if done correctly. Yes. You know, meat, vegetables, rice.
You do a salad. No, take the rice out. You do a salad. Salad, bean, lettuce, beans.
Oh, but she just took that away. She was just on a roll. Took it away. And was like, I'm just going to take one more thing away from you.
Done. So
I love that.
So far, so good. We're 3 days in. So far, so good.
I'm just going to be posting burrito memes now for the next 3 weeks on your feed.
Oh, geez. Thanks for your support. I appreciate it.
That's what we're here for. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in, walking us through our January cleanses as well. We'll be back with another great episode of The Course of Life next week.